The Horizontal Well Act of 2011 allocated funding to study the impacts of horizontal drilling. Legislators reached out to West Virginia University's Water Research Institute. Director Paul Zimkevich studied both solid and liquid waste produced from horizontal wells. Horizontal wells produce two kinds of wastewater, flowback and what's referred to as produced water. Zimkevich explains, once a well is fracked, meaning once operators take 5 million gallons of water mixed with sand and additives and blast it deep into this hard, black, non-porous rock called Marcellus Shale, the pressure is then released. And the first thing that happens is a regurgitation of some of that fluid.
The stuff that comes out over the first initial 60 days or so is called flowback. So you have to get that flowback out of the system before you can start producing gas. Now, you start producing a little bit of gas as soon as you release the pressure. But when it gets to the point where you can start commercially producing gas, you switch over to something called produced water. So it's kind of different water. So the same water that starts out as flowback, or same stream that starts out as flowback, turns into produced water. The quality of that water changes over time.
Zimkevich explains that the longer the fracking fluid mingles with the rock formation, the more stuff from that formation flows back out with the fluid.
And that can include organic compounds. It can include lots of salts. So sodium, chloride, bromide, salts, mainly chloride salts of one kind or another, strontium chloride, barium chloride. These things start pushing back up out of the hole. And the concentration of all those salts, almost everything, including radioactivity, starts to go up during the flowback cycle. So the longer you go into flowback and then produce water, generally the higher the concentrations get. So people are very concerned about what's going down in the initial frack water. In our experience, almost that's the least of your problems. the stuff that comes back up out is almost always more concentrated.
Zimkevich says in some cases, this briny water produced a concentration of about 250,000 milligrams per liter of dissolved solids, which he explains is essentially 25% solid. Where does it go from there? Well, Zimkevich says about 25% of that fluid is pumped back into deep wells classified as injection waste disposal wells. 75% of the flowback is being recycled, but still has to be processed. Solids like clays, metals, and rocks are filtered and precipitated out, leaving cakes behind. These cakes are then dumped into solid waste landfills. The same place that the mud and rock produced during the drilling process is dumped. So now we're in the realm of solid waste. Here's where it gets a little muddy. Under the Resource Conservation Recovery Act, or RCRA, hazardous waste is differentiated from industrial solid waste based on tests that determine chemical properties. Now, interestingly, federal law exempts drilling waste from regulation as hazardous waste. But fortunately, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is proceeding with some caution anyway. Scott Mandarola, director of the DEP's Division of Water and Waste Management, explains horizontal well operators were just sort of spreading this waste on properties or dumping it, burying it, whatever, wherever. The Horizontal Well Control Act of 2011 specified that instead the waste should be disposed of in appropriate landfills. So municipal landfills started accepting the waste. And we're talking about a lot of waste. So DEP Cabinet Secretary Randy Huffman sent a memo out to solid waste landfill operators in July of last year saying they could continue to accept the waste if they took one of two actions: apply to expand their operation or construct separate cells specifically for these waste products. Bill Hughes is the chairman of the Wetzel County Solid Waste Authority.
Wetzel County, which is legally permitted for to 9,999 tons, let's round it off to 10 times 12, 120,000 tons per year. Our landfill last year took in about 330,000 tons. Of that, about 250,000 tons was drill waste, drill cuttings.
Mandarola says the landfill there in Wetzel County, one of the most heavily drilled counties in the state, has seen one of the largest influxes of waste because of its proximity to so many well sites. This concerns residents for reasons such as the amount of space available in landfills, and also because there's still very little known about the chemical characterization of the waste. Enter Paul Zimkevich, who, again, was tasked with looking specifically into exactly that.
Well, I don't think we've characterized this material adequately enough to determine whether or not it really belongs in solid waste landfills or whether it belongs in a higher standard landfill.
Zimkevich did look at drilling muds, but he explains that a combination of bad luck, low response times from companies and the DEP, bad weather, and an aggressive time frame to report these results contributed to the lack of access to drilling samples from the actual rock formation where Marcellus gas exists, the shale. So unfortunately, it's still something of a mystery.
They're black shales, and black shales tend to accumulate, uranium. Uranium breaks down into radium, which is what you see coming back. Now, we never got to sample any of these drill cuttings or drilling muds from the Marcellus itself. But even looking at the going through the vertical sections, a lot of them turned up as exceeding, and we didn't have many standards to actually compare these to, so we used drinking water standards, federal drinking water standards. These drill cuttings and muds, the solid, their liquid fractions came out as being well in excess of drinking water standards.
Zimkevich is calling for an additional study to further test these solid waste streams.
By the time this stuff gets to the landfill and is diluted, it may or may not even be a problem. It may be we're focusing on radioactivity when that's not a problem at all, but the real problem is organic contamination like benzene.
Zimkevich's other recommendations include what he calls common sense measures, like proper containment of drill sites to guard against spills, and thorough inspection and enforcement by well-trained authorities. He also suggests tracking liquid wastes to have a clear knowledge of exactly where they end up. Zimkevich and other experts say it's hard to predict the future of oil and gas development, but everyone seems certain that significantly more drilling is the most likely scenario, and therefore more insight into the science and practices of the industry is the best course of action to safeguard not only communities, but also employees and first responders. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.